The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census of the whole world to be taken. This census, the first, took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to be registered. So Joseph set out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee and travelled up to Judea, to the town of David, called Bethlehem, since he was of David's house and line, in order to be registered together with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. In the countryside close by, there were shepherds who lived in the fields and took it in turns to watch their flocks during the night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Listen. I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And here is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly with the angel there was a great throng of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace to men who enjoy his favor." The Gospel of the Lord. Give hope to a world in the grip of crisis, Pope urges youth. The headline in today's Catholic Herald. And that goes on to speak of a shadow fallen over our time. When I was reading it, I was reflecting over the more than 40 years of preaching over Christmas. And how often we get to the dark time of the year, the cold time of the year, and be tired and jaded and worn out, and we look back over the year, we maybe look back over the years past as well. We seem to come to similar conclusions. The world can often seem to be in a grip of some crisis or another. I don't need to catalogue to you the things of the last year, the disasters, the crises, the problems, the situations that we caught up in. When I began to reflect back, I thought of so many, I'm not going to say any of them, so many over the years that we seem to end up to, and yet, Pope's absolutely right, give hope in that grip of crisis. But it does mean sometimes we get to the Christmas festival and we're tired and jaded and worn out. Some of it because the pressures around us are saying that by tonight, tomorrow, you've got to have had everything done as if the world's about to come to an end. And it won't, and you'll still be able to go on, and if you haven't done it, will it really matter? Some of the commercial pressures to buy whatever is the latest thing that without which your life or the lives of your loved ones would otherwise not be complete. And we read that we'll probably spend more tomorrow on Christmas Day buying on the internet millions, probably running into almost billions. What we do know is that as we do every Christmas, when we gather as families and friends, we do naturally look back over what's been and all the things that have happened in family life, in national life, in international life, whatever it is. We know that it's full of ups and downs. From the earliest days of the scriptures, we hear in Genesis of those 7 good years, we hear of the 7 lean years it was ever thus. There's good and there's bad, and we shot through with that all the time. And the dreadful pressures that are on the Christian community in the Holy Land, and particularly in Bethlehem today, a reflection, in a way, of similar times when Mary and Joseph had to journey because of the emperor who had decreed, he was the occupying emperor, they were an occupied country, and he decreed that they're all going to be taxed, so therefore they must sort themselves out and go back home. And so they traveled far, no place for them to rest, no comfort, no room at the inn. Her time had come, she gives birth to her son. It's very familiar, we know it well, and we hear it year by year. But it's new life. And with every new birth, there's always that hope and that excitement and that thrill of new life. But this is also different, because this is God born in time. O great mystery, O magnum mysterium, that little reflection after I'd read the gospel brings it right there, because it is. It's a great mystery that the great God of heaven has come down to earth. His mother a virgin and sinless his birth. And you've already sung the hopes and fears of all the years are met in the tonight. And it's true. And that's the whole point. I think it was Morse, Inspector Morse, passing a church, said, important if true. Meaning, and if it's true, which we believe it is, then it is that great mystery. It is that most important thing. And as we try to make sense of life and all that goes on and all that life throws at us and all that happens, a person that often can help us, well, the one person, of course, that can is Jesus, but Cardinal Hume wrote three books that he left us, which really are collections of his homilies over the many years he was Archbishop of Westminster. But they're entitled The Mystery. The Mystery of the Incarnation. The Mystery of the Cross. The Mystery of Love. And in one of them he says this, the meaning of things and their purpose is in part now hidden, but shall in the end become clear. The choice is between the mystery and the absurd. To embrace the mystery is to discover the real. In a sense, it was the real that was there in that manger in Bethlehem. It's the real that comes to us in every Mass. That's why we prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. But we're in an age that doesn't like mystery, because we must be able to solve everything. We must be able to know the answer to everything. Got a question? You Google it. And you can get the answer. Whether it's the right one, you can never be sure. It's like Wikipedia. Who put it up there? Who knows whether it's right or it's wrong? Sometimes it might be, sometimes it might not be. But we don't like mystery. And yet, one of the great theologians of the Greek times, wrote, it's not the task of Christianity to provide easy answers to every question. Those of you that know me well know that there is always an easy answer to every question. It's usually the wrong one. But there is an answer to every question, and it's here with us. It's Jesus. But he says, it's not to provide an easy answer to every question, but to make us progressively aware of a mystery. God is not so much the object of our knowledge as the cause of our wonder. So one of the old carols puts it like this, O wonder of wonders, which none can unfold, the Ancient of Days is an hour or two old. The maker of all things is made of the earth. Man is worshipped by angels, and God comes to birth. It's trying to express, in a way, the great mystery that we have when we hear. Because the truth of our faith is that God, the great and awesome God, becomes human for you and for me. And that's the cause of our joy and celebration at Christ's Mass. Also, hang on to that it's Christ's Mass. Christmas, where we get the word from, it's Christ's Mass. It's our feast, as it were. That sacred mysteries, for he comes right now. And that is the mystery, that down onto our altar, he comes to share what we are, to give meaning to what we do, to heal the wounds that we have, to give life and life in its fullness. And it's also in the manger of Bethlehem where all our questions begin to be answered, not necessarily are answered here and now, because it is a mystery, but they begin to be answered because he is the explanation of it all.